God, thank you for your hope in us. What an amazing opportunity, God, just to rest together with your people, whether here in the building or in their places right now on their line. God, just to be able to soak in a little bit of your presence and your strength for our lives. And God, to remind ourselves of this great God, this awe-inspiring God, this God who is just, but the God who loves us and puts his hope in us. You're great, God. You're amazing. You're incredible, God. And we give you the honor that you deserve. And Jesus, we pray and we sing and we worship and we open your word all in your name, your beautiful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wasn't that great? I'm glad there are people that are talented and have good voices to help people like me sort of blend in and sound good. And I want to thank Jason and Jake for leading us today. And boy, God is so good. He is so good. You know, if you've ever wondered about the importance of proofreading, you know, before you write something and send it out, you know, whether by email or letter, here's a couple of great examples of why you should proofread before you do that. In one edition of today's food section, an inaccurate number of jalapeno peppers was given for Jeanette Crowley's Southwestern chicken salad recipe. The recipe should have called for 2, not 21 jalapeno peppers. I might actually have enjoyed that dish. Important notice, if you're one of hundreds of parachuting enthusiasts who bought our Easy Skydiving book, please make the following correction. On page 8, line 7, the word state zip code should have read pole ripcord. You wouldn't find that funny until you're, you know, a few thousand feet in the air and you go out and go, where's my state code? You know, it's important in life and faith to stay refreshed, to stay renewed in the Lord. You know, I think we would all agree that in times of our life and faith, we have grown weary at points. You know, we've maybe got discouraged at times. Sometimes we've been working so well for the Lord that we forget to take care of ourselves and we get weary in just doing good, you know, in ministry, serving good. I've experienced that many times where I start to do and I forget about the being. You know, so it's important. And I felt a real strong urge from God early in the week, this week. I had talked to a few people, and then I was praying and got a sense that there was a group of people, a large group of people, that have become weary. And they need a little shot in the arm. They need a little bit of encouragement from God. They need a little bit of the Spirit of God just to reach down today, you know, whether here or online, and just touch you. And revive you and refresh you. Love that song. We need revival. You know, we need to stay revived in our spirit because God is ever present. He never leaves us, forsakes us. He's always there. So he's this unlimited supply of strength and peace and joy. You know, sometimes we may not even know that spiritually we're at risk, that we're depleted. Because we don't stop and consider or think or take time to just sort of pause and think about our life and about our spirit and what's going on in our spirit. And I think it's important sometimes just to stop and just ask ourselves some good questions. You know, how am I feeling? You know, what is my spirit like? You know, what is God in me right now today? This last week on Monday, my wife and I got into our Jeep and we were going to head down to Williams Lake. I'm a section pastor for this area, so at times I get together with pastors. And so we decided to take the opportunity. And so I went to the gas station and filled the Jeep up. And so this is good, right? I get my car filled up. I'm going down to Williams Lake. I know I don't have to stop in Quesnel and fill up. I can get all the way to Williams Lake. I can turn around and come back. All's good. So I went down there, and, you know, gas gauge goes down, right? And I, drove around. You know, we went and looked at a couple of the houses we lived in and owned in Williams Lake back when we were there so many years ago. And, had a really good time visiting pastors, and then went and visited some friends and stayed overnight. And got up in the morning, had a great breakfast, and, got in the Jeep and headed out back to Prince George. And, got to Quesnel, looked at the gas gauge, all's good. And went through, Hixson, last chance, all good, no problem. I know how much my car does and the gas gauge works. So I get down and we get into Prince George, and I'm looking at the Shell station at the airport, and I'm like, okay, all's good. I can go get my cheap gas at Superstore, get my 7% off. And, I'm going down. Now, most of you at this point think I'm going to tell you I ran out of gas. I didn't run out of gas. I got to Superstore, I filled the tank up, even though it was low, and I drove home. Now, what if I decided when I got to Superstore, I've got enough in for the week. So I'm just going to just pass Superstore, and I'm going to go home, and the next day I'll forget completely, and I'll just go. And if I keep that up, what's going to happen? I'm going to run out of fuel. The car is going to stop unless God just decides I never have to buy fuel ever again, and my car is on empty and it just keeps going. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's my kind of revival. And so my thought was, we just sometimes spiritually we forget that we've got to just stop periodically at times and renew our fuel. We need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. That language there means to be overflowing, to abound in the Spirit. It means for a continual refilling. In other words, we don't just get filled with the Spirit and it stays at the top all the time. We need to stop. We need to consider our spiritual well-being at all times so that we don't get overwhelmed and become to a point where we're so overwhelmed that we're just weary and we're tired and we're just worn out. And we all know, this, right? That every time we get to those places of lowness and we're worn out and we're weary and we forget, it's not a good place to be. A lot of bad things can happen. That's when, stress and anxiety and depression and forgetfulness and all these great attributes that we all want in our life happen. We need to be filled, to be made full, to be complete in God, because we never know what's going to happen in our life, what we're going to face tomorrow. We know that today we want to be fresh and filled with the Spirit so that no matter what happens tomorrow, we're ready to go. We're ready to drive that Jeep. We're able to pass some gas stations because we know the gas gauge is up there. And spiritually, we need to make sure that we're full of the Lord and His Spirit. God is so good. We don't have to wonder, can we be filled? Will we be filled? Does God, care? Does God want to do something in my life? Is He present today? Tomorrow, is He there? We don't have to worry about that. In the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, we hear these words, you will seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart. You see, when you seek God and you seek to be filled with the Spirit, God's promise to Israel in the Old Testament and Judah was they would be filled if they sought Him, if they went after Him. And God promised He would be there for them. In Matthew 7, Jesus tells us the same thing. He says, ask, it'll be given to you. He said, seek, and you'll find. He said, knock, and it's going to be open to you. Because everyone who asks is going to receive. He who seeks is going to find. And to him who knocks, it will be open. God is not going to listen to your pleas and your cries for His Spirit to be full in your life and leave you abandoned. When you seek Him and you ask Him and you knock on His door and you go after God, God says, I will fill you. I'll be there for you because you will get what your heart's desire is towards me. When it says to ask, it really is about a humility towards God and an awareness of my need for God. that I can't live my life and be full without him. It's really asking, it's really a humility towards God and an awareness of my need for him in my life. Seeking him is really pursuing God's will for my life. And what is God's will for my life? My God wants me to be full of his Spirit, to have fullness of joy and to have peace in my heart, knowing that he's caring for me and he's going to lead and he's going to guide my life. That's what seeking is really about. It's understanding that when I seek, I can know God's will and have his guidance for my life. And when you talk about knocking, the language here means to strike. It doesn't mean to tap, it means to strike. It's to really knock on the door of God. And it suggests a person who is persevering and has persistence towards God and being full of the Spirit of God. We are not people who are laid back and think, well, God's not, doesn't care about me. Every person, God cares for you. Every one of us. And we need to persevere and be persistent and to continually seek and ask and knock after God in our lives. And the verses that follow in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, after he challenges us with this, it says this: if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? When you ask God, when you seek God, and when you knock on God's door, God's going to give you good things. You'll never be disappointed with what God does in your life and what he provides for your life. And when God's Spirit comes in, we all know when we've been full of the Spirit, there is such a joy and a peace and a trust and a hope and a forward motion in our spirit and in our lives because God is with us. You know, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30 says this: come to me. Come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you the rest you need. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, I love those three words, come to me. Jesus is just setting it all up, isn't he? He says, you know, life is going to get weary. We're going to get heavy laden. We're going to get depleted. We're going to get fatigued. It's all a part of the dynamics of our humanness. But Jesus says in the midst of that, always come to me. Why? Because we will find rest for our souls. We can't allow worry and stress and anxiety and the pressures of life continually linger over us and press us down. Jesus is inviting us to trust in him personally. Trust in him. You know, I remember very vividly the day that I lost my fingers on my left hand. It was just a beautiful day. And the night before, especially for those who don't know the story, I met my wife. We were going out for, a month. You know, I was a snotty-nosed kid, you know, young, very young. Anyway, we had those daily breads. Some of you people know those verses, you know, in daily breads, and you pull a verse out randomly, and then you read it. And the verse said to me, my God shall supply all your needs according to your glories, my glories and riches in heaven. And I thought, okay, my God shall supply all my need. Something in my spirit told me in that moment that it meant something more than just pulling out a verse. That God was actually meaning something by this verse. Went to White Rock that night, beautiful moonlit walk with my girlfriend. Now my wife for 36 years. What a time go, what happened? And, you know, just a beautiful time. We prayed on the beach. I went home late, of course. Got up for work, went to work. And, you know, within 2.5 hours, you know, the fingers were gone. And rushed down to the hospital. They transferred me over. Well, first thing, when I got to the Langley Hospital, I tell you, I love nurses, and I love doctors, I'll tell you. because I was in pain. My brain had caught up with my pain, and I was in agony. And they give you this needle of Demerol. Instantly, you feel good. And, you know, they wrapped it up. They took me and transferred me over to New West. And I was in New West Hospital, and they began to unwrap, you know, my wound. And anybody that's a medical professional knows when you have open nerves and they're taking that off, I just about shot through the roof. And then when the last little round thing came off, I felt so good again. But I'm so thankful that when I lost my fingers, I didn't just go, well, you know what? That's too bad. I just think I'll suck it up and I'll take the pain and I think I'll go home and have lunch. And we'll just take care of itself. No, I'm glad they sent me to the right place. I'm glad that they sent me to the right people. I'm glad for the surgeon who took the time to put my hand together again and 40-some stitches in my thumb so I'd have a thumb. I'm grateful I was sent to the right people. When we get weary, when we get worn down, when we allow ourselves to be overcome with life, who do you go to? You go to the one person who can help you, and that's Jesus. And he's the one who sent his Spirit to this earth to walk with us, to be with us, to dwell in us, to revive us and keep us fresh in our faith and to be strong. You don't go, you know, I wouldn't have gone to the corner store and asked the person doing the cashier, can you fix my fingers? You know, you go to the right person. Jesus is the right person for us. 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. He loves you. And in this verse in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, we understand that anxiety again is going to be there in our lives. But we have to take the anxiety and the stresses of our life, and we need to cast them on Jesus because Jesus cares for us, and we have to quit carrying it ourselves. Do you know that worry and anxiety and stresses to the point that we overcome us? You know, it really is a form of pride. Because what it does, it involves taking our concerns upon ourselves instead of trusting in God. Worry is a form of pride. Because we think we can do it ourselves, we can carry it ourselves, when we know very well spiritually that we can't. We can trust God as a father because he cares for us. We can give ourselves entirely to him. We can submit to his wise ordering of our lives. And that mighty hand of God he refers to there is a reference to the deliverance of Egypt. And how many know that when Israel came out of Egypt in all those years of bondage, the amazing hand of God that was done, even in the Red Sea, when God parted the waters, you know, the mighty hand of God parted the waters. And they walked across on dry land, and they got to the other side, and here came their problem still, the Egyptian army coming across, and God's mighty hand closed the waters on them, and they were free. And when we have concerns and cares and life is going on, who do we have? We have God's mighty hand at work in our lives. And he's the one that clears the way. He's the one that does the miraculous works in our life. He's the one that revives us, renews us, and refreshes us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You see, when we go to God in our weariness and our life is getting full of stuff in our lives, we know that God provides places of peaceful rest and for feeding of our souls, and he restores us, and that's the benefit we reap when we go to him and we wait on him and we're quiet before him because God's peace comes upon us and fills us, and we get rest and we get fed in our souls. Restoration, refreshment, and revival of the soul indicate a return of life and vitality to us. So when you're weary, you go to Him and He revives you and gives you life in your soul. Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Haven't you heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. God provides such mighty strength in our lives so that we have endurance in our lives. And God is one who never suffers setbacks, and He can help those who do, and that's pretty much all of us. Human strength inevitably will fail, but only the promise of God can sustain our persevere in our lives. And He has endless supplies of fresh strength to give us at any time. I hope you hear God's heart for you today, and I hope you hear my heart. It's absolutely inevitable that we're all going to get to points of our life where we feel tired. We get weary. The stresses and demands of this life are not easy. We all know that. We all agree with that. But we have to guard our hearts and our spirits. We have to make sure that we tend our spirits before God, that we don't go down the road too far so that we run out of fuel, but that we periodically will stop and allow God to refill and renew and strengthen us and empower us to endure and to run the race that He's called us to run. Because one day there won't be any of this striving anymore, because we'll see Him face to face. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. I'll look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Oh God, what a day that'll be. Can I leave you two more verses? Jeremiah 31, verse 25. This is the promise of God to each of us. For I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? That word satisfy is to be saturated, to drink one's fill. You see, God will satisfy our weariness by filling us and saturating us with His Spirit. And the languishing soul is the one who has become faint. God will replenish, simply meaning He will fill you. Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the living water. Drink deep, folks. Drink deep in your relationship with Him. The last verses are these, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. His divine power has granted to you and to me everything we need that pertains to this life and to being godly in this life. He has provided it for us, and we just need to make sure we don't pass the station. We need to stop periodically and just allow God to speak into our lives, to read His Word, to be filled with His Spirit, to have conversations with God that are pleasant and peaceful and full of joy. Do you receive that today? God is for you. God is for you. You know, He is not against us, and He wants us to succeed, but He lets us go through this stuff. so that we'll learn to depend on Him, to trust Him, and to allow Him to shape our lives and renew our lives and help us to become a little bit more like Jesus. And you know why He does it? Because He wants you to succeed, but He wants your life to matter to those that can look to you and go, why in the world do you have strength right now? How do I get that? I want what you got. That's what God wants to do. With whatever He does in your life and He does in my life, He wants to share it with those that need it. So God bless you in that and cause you to be fruitful for His kingdom. We're going to be singing a song to close today in a sense of celebration, of just a reminder again of who God is. And it's that old song, Times of Refreshing. It says, well, I thank you, Lord, that you are my Savior. You're the strength and you're the rock on which I stand. You give me life and a grace that's greater when I humble myself beneath your mighty hands. You bring times of refreshing to my soul. And when I'm weary from the fight of trying to do what's right, you bring times of refreshing to my soul. For the day will come when we'll all be gathered and the sun will rise with healing in its wings. And all the years of pain won't seem to matter when our eyes behold our teacher and our King. You bring times of refreshing to my soul. Amen, Lord. You're the strength and you're the rock on which we stand. And you give us life and grace that's greater because, God, we humble ourselves beneath your mighty hand. And, God, we take this word today and we ask you to seal it in our hearts and in our spirits. And, God, for those out there that are weary, even as we sing this song, may the weariness just disappear, God. And may you refresh their souls, even this moment, God, because your divine power can do that in an instant, God. And God, may we find times, every one of us this week, to just stop at the station in your presence. And God, just find out if we need to be filled in our spirit. God, help us. Bring us to those quiet waters this week, each of us, God. That we might be refreshed and restored and revitalized in our spirit. And we give this and we say this all in your wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, God is great and awesome and good. I can't tell you how good it is to be here with you today and online. I love this. I love that God does a work in our lives and calls us together and we get to celebrate together. And where two or three are gathered, where's God? He's in the midst of them. Oh, be refreshed, church. Be renewed. Be revitalized in your faith. Oh, Jason and Jake, rip it.